Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Salty Sisters. I'm Kristen.
Brianna, hello.
Hello.
E-G-I-F.
Yes, we are back on Friday today. I like recording on Fridays.
Well, yeah, I don't mind it. I kind of like Mondays just because that means we have a full week break, because if we record on Fridays and then Mark edits Mondays, it just kind of feels like I have 2 days worth of podcasts for some reason versus just one. Does that make sense?
Not really.
Cool. Because when he edits, I just feel like that takes away my evening as well.
I see. Now I get it.
Yay.
How's the week been?
Wow. The week has been fine. You've been recovering from your sickness that I think we all remember from last week. I had a little bout with some tummy troubles on Wednesday. So we're all just kind of getting back on our feet over here in Michigan.
Speaking of feet, man, your feet look so big right now with these fucking canoe paddle of tennis shoes on.
Mom's got big feet. My God. I mean, they're only like a 9.5. Hey, fucking, what's your thing called that you've got?
I've got plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis.
If anybody has any tips or tricks, please let me know. God, I just want to.
How are your inserts working?
Well, everybody, I went to the Goodfeed store and got inserts.
Plantar fasciitis affects a lot of people. They will want to know this.
They're working. You know, I feel like I kind of thought they'd be like a miracle day one situation. But, you know, like if I go for long walks, it's still kind of like they hurt a little bit. But it's going to be fine. Anyways, I'm not going to bore everybody. But if anybody has any plantar fasciitis tips or any shoes that they really like, sandals, please let me know. Thanks.
Really affected Kristen's life.
It really has.
You know?
So, yeah. What?
I mean, I guess there's been like a pretty big announcement this week. I mean, I'm sure when this airs on Tuesday, everybody will know. But the Felicity podcast on The Ringer has officially been announced.
Wow, I really had no idea what announcement you're going to say.
You know, we've got a lot of Felicity followers still.
It's true.
And it's my favorite. I joined one of our coffee chats at work virtually. And since it's Women's History Month, it was all of the questions were themed on, you know, who's a woman in your life that you look up to, and I said you.
Aww.
And then there were two other questions where I think I could have said a real person, but I said Felicity, aka Carrie Russell. And I was like, I know this is psychotic, you know, I'm saying this with my gigantic Felicity poster behind me and my Zoom calls, so yeah, I'm excited.
Who were some of the other women that they brought up?
Oh, you know, like people in this talk were, oh, my wife, you know. Oh. Just like, or
lame
Michelle Obama, or right. Harriet Tubman.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, sure.
Historical figures.
Yeah. Yeah. I also like to go a little bit more realistic.
Pop culture-y.
Yeah. I mean, you know, not the Miss America type answers. World peace. But yeah, it's announced. It's starting March 13th, which is tomorrow. It's very exciting. I was reshared one of the things and Juliet Littman saw it. She didn't react to it, but I did message Amanda Foreman and say congratulations. It's just very exciting. I don't know why I have such mixed feelings about it, but I do. But it's fine. We're all going to listen together and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll definitely listen and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I think my plan is, since I haven't started rewatching Felicity like I said I was going to, I'm going to watch along with the show.
Oh, that's perfect.
Watch along with the pod, I should say.
Yeah.
So it'll give us some more Felicity content in this podcast, which is exciting to most people, especially me.
Yay.
Yay.
What else are you clicking on this week?
Man, I clicked / watched most of the Jason Kelsey retirement, and I got choked up watching it. It's really difficult to see grown men like that cry. And yeah. And then I also listened to their podcast on Wednesday, and they both started choking up a little bit towards the end. And I'm like, oh my God.
Was Mama Kelsey crying? I couldn't tell. I don't think she was.
I couldn't also tell. It didn't seem like she was. She just maybe looked
proud
and maybe just whatever. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Big news, I guess.
Which we knew, but it's official now.
All of the eagle-eyed Swifties pointed out Travis was wearing his friendship bracelets, and Jason said some stuff about playing in the city of brotherly love, which he knows all too well. And so they were just like picking these phrases out of his speech. And they were all really excited that he incorporated Taylor Swift into his speech. There was like multiple things that they picked up on. And what
do you think it was intentional?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I guess I would like to know.
I don't think that Jason Kelsey is going to be dropping like Easter eggs in his retirement speech? Right. Absolutely fucking not.
He seemed like he had more important things on his mind than weaving Taylor Swift things into his speech. But I appreciate the thoroughness and craziness of the Swift fans. And I mean that as an endearing comment because it's impressive.
For sure.
One other thing that I clicked on this week, a lot of Dakota Johnson news going around with that Madam Web movie that completely bombed, but she was talking about her relationship with Chris Martin and how she feels about Apple and Moses, her bonus children, and like she like loves them and they're just the way she would do anything for them. And she talked about her and Gwyneth and how they get along really well. And it's just such an interesting family slash parenting dynamic that those four have, and it's really impressive.
For sure.
Like, it kind of linked to Gwyneth saying things about, I can't remember her husband's name,
Chris Martin. Oh, Brad Falchuk, yeah. Or whatever,
and like how it's been a struggle and they're in such a better place now. But I really appreciate this authentic honesty about how hard it is navigating these waters. Not that I know anything about it, but they just seem like a really fun hang with these four.
Yes.
And I also did not know Dakota Johnson was fucking 34. I thought she was my age. She's not.
Yeah.
So.
You know her mom is Melanie Griffith.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I sure do.
Got it. I do like those four as well. I loved Gwyneth and Chris Martin as a couple. Mm-hmm. And I just remember, like, he is just a baby. And they're just so young and cute. And I really appreciate that they've kept a good relationship. And, like, Gwyneth has been photographed multiple times with Dakota Johnson. She says nothing but good things. And if you're a seasoned veteran like Dakota Johnson, I mean, you have movie star parents. You're surrounded your entire life. You know how to sail these waters or whatever. Yeah,
for sure. It's refreshing to see. And I mean, we've talked about Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop, and it just really does seem like she is just a very big, like, woman supporter, you know, instead of, like, tearing other women down. She brings them all up, and I appreciate it. And it was just a nice, refreshing read.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay.
Are they engaged, do you think?
I don't think so, but they asked her if she was, like, wanting her own children, and she said, which, God, annoying question anyways, but she said if it happens, it happens, but she would love to be a mother. And then I also just didn't realize how long they've been together. I mean, like, 20, like, I want to say it's been, like, 7 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nice.
What are some things you're clicking on?
Well, Kirsten Dunst was on the cover of Marie Claire. Mm-hmm. Her photos are beautiful. Like, she has just, she looks the same as she did in, like, Bring It On, I feel like. I mean, she's absolutely obviously, like, older, but she looks really great. Mm-hmm. She's got a new movie coming out, Civil War, basically, like, just feels very real, but...
Praise be.
She's 41 now. She hasn't worked in 2 years.
Can I stop you for a second? Holy shit. Do you remember? So she is 2 years younger than you. Mm-hmm. And she is four-ish, whatever. I just remember watching movies like Bring It On. And I mean, she's been in movies since she was little, but she always seemed so much older than us.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. So that is shocking to me that she's 41.
Yeah. Anyways, continue. Yeah, she hasn't worked in 2 years since that wonderful movie, Power of the Dog.
Kristen loved that movie.
This was her first interview in two years. And she seems super relatable. Like, the writer of the article made it a point to say they met at a rug store. They were doing rug shopping. And how normal it was, she thought it might be awkward. But, like, usually you're meeting at a restaurant so you can watch them pick at their salads or something. But yeah, they had a fun day of shopping, and she was just a mom and really excited to get away from her two kids for a day of shopping. She talked about Jesse Plemons. They met on the movie on the set of Fargo, and she said they just fell in love on set. They've done some, like, movies together, and she said they work so well together, but they really don't talk on set. They just do their own thing.
Aww.
A couple other things I appreciated, you know, she's been an actor for so long, and she said she's just really gravitated towards women ever since Little Women, and, you know, she worked 3 times with Sofia Coppola, and she just made it a point to say she never wanted to be looked at as an object by a male director and or what, you know, she's obviously worked with male directors, but she's just like, I don't think that was the case with a lot of them, but I just didn't want that. So she felt more comfortable around women. They asked her if she'd do another superhero movie because she was in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
And she said, yeah, for the money.
Yeah.
Only.
I love it.
She's like, I have two kids. I take care of my mom. So I really enjoyed it.
I also liked her comments about aging in Hollywood and how she feels like ever since she started getting older, she only gets pitched sad mom roles.
Right.
And just like think for a second how fucked up that is that she's 41.
Yeah.
She looks fantastic. She could play any age that she wanted to. And out of all of the projects that come down the pipeline in Hollywood, like here's like a brilliant actress who's been acting since she was a child. And like, this is what you're going to throw at her.
Oh,
ugh.
Like what is a favorite Kirsten Dunst movie?
God, Bring It On was such a, like a
iconic,
iconic. And just at that point in my, like, you know, in the early aughts time as well. I love her in Little Women. She was so good at an Interview with a Vampire, even though her fate was sad.
Marie Antoinette was like,
oh my God.
So good.
Dude, I just rediscovered that song from The Strokes, the I Wanna Be Forgotten.
Oh, I have that on my Spotify list.
I know.
That is a just one you will just sing at the top of your lungs.
It is such a great song, and it's that always reminds me of Marie Antoinette. Mm-hmm. I love that movie. That movie bombed.
You should have Mark get that.
On Plex. Sure, mm-hmm. We will, Mark.
She does say that Tom Cruise still sends her his famous coconut cake every holiday.
Oh, right.
She has some Dakota and Elle Fanning are good Hollywood friends of hers, and they are just like her, like very down to earth, which it seems.
Yeah.
So, yeah, really good read. You sent me this in Instagram, but the Idea of You trailer with Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah.
Looks so good.
That is a movie that I feel like is just really right up you and his alley.
Yeah. Like, she meets a much younger man. He's the singer of a band at Coachella. And, like, it just seems like such a good love story.
Hopefully one of them doesn't fucking die or something. Ugh, you know, we typical. Don't need that. This leads me, I already talked to Kristen about this yesterday, but this leads me to my thought of how much more I appreciate these women in Hollywood. Kirsten Dunst. Anne Hathaway.
I love Anne Hathaway right now.
But like, I'm hoping that she's one. And like Meryl Streep and all of these women who are embracing their age.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like you have to be super fucking happy about being 41 or 65 or however old you are, but they all look amazing and they are like so naturally beautiful. When I see photographs of them now on red carpet, just how much they stand out to me because they're not the fillered, Botoxed, lips out to their frozen face, like contoured. They are just so stunning and they embrace and are just themselves. And I have come to really appreciate that because it seems to me that it's becoming less and less common in Hollywood and the world. It is amazing to me how many people I know that get Botox just like randomly, which again, you got to do you however makes you feel good. But I think it's just, you know, you start to look the same as people, kind of like the tattoos. Like, remember when you started getting tattoos and it was so cool and now everybody has fucking tattoos and it's just like, I don't know. That's my thought. So keep being you, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Oscars are this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Will you watch?
I will for sure watch some of the red carpet. I don't know. Maybe I'll tune in here and there, but I'm assuming it's going to be like 4.5 hours long. So no.
Have you seen the following movies that are up for Best Picture? Oppenheimer.
Nope.
The Zone of Interest, which I've never heard of.
Nope. And also never heard of it.
American Fiction.
Nope. Never also heard of
it. Poor Things.
Is that the one with Emma Stone?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen it.
The Holdovers.
Uh-uh.
Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-mm.
Barbie.
Yes. Yes.
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Nah.
Past Lives.
Nah.
And Maestro.
Nah.
Got it. Do you want to see any of those movies?
I'm going to be honest with you. Besides Barbie, I feel like I've heard of three of those.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to see Oppenheimer. The Killers of the Flower Moon. Yes, I will probably see. Do I want to watch Maestro? Not really. I'm almost hoping you and Phil watch it and let us know how it is.
I would. I think at some point I would watch it. Yeah. I feel like The Holdovers I've heard of. Anyways, yeah. So it's,
this is
why nobody's gonna watch, you know, it's.
But like, how did it get to this? I'm thinking of, you know, let's just say 10 years ago, who was up for Best Picture? And I'm going to go out on a limb because I don't have that list in front of me, that I had at least heard of 90% of them and seen most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that, I don't know, how have we not heard of most of these? How have we not like felt compelled to see them? And I'm sure there are people out there who have seen all and heard of all of them. And that's, it is what it is. But yeah, those are just not on my radar. And I pride myself on being up with the times. Are you Googling this right now?
I'm Googling in 2014, who were the Best Picture nominees.
Excellent.
12 Years a Slave.
Yep, saw it.
American Hustle. Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
Jennifer
I don't
Lawrence,
think I ever saw it, but
Amy
I know.
Adams, good.
Okay.
Captain Phillips.
I'm the captain. Did not see it, know it.
Dallas Buyers Club.
Same.
Gravity.
Wow. Yep.
Her with Joaquin Phoenix, I think.
Oh, right. Scarlett. Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah.
Nebraska. Okay. I don't know what that is. Philomena and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Okay. So there's two out of that list that I had not heard of.
Right.
So I feel like I hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah. You sure did.
I've not become less interested in movies, so I'm not quite sure what the disconnect is. Is it streaming? Are we just, is too much content being thrown at us every single day?
I think it's just changed. I don't know. Like ever since TV became so good, I feel like movies just stopped.
Oh, for sure. I'm remembering something I saw on Instagram yesterday. It was Zach Braff, Donald Faison, and Jason Sudeikis were just like sitting all three in a row, and Zach Braff was holding a baby and he was like, coming soon, like Three Men and a Baby. It was a joke.
Oh.
But the comment section was like, the world doesn't need a sequel.
Calm down, Tom Selleck. Jesus. Is it Tom Selleck in that movie?
Yeah, the mustache. Yeah, okay. Tom Selleck and the dude from Cheers, Sam.
Oh, yeah. Ted Danson.
Ted Danson and the other guy who's in
Mad
It
About
Takes
You?
Two, the father. No, his name is right there, but I can't do it. He's been an actor for a long time.
Got it.
Have you ever seen It Takes Two with the Olsen twins?
No. God, no.
Christy Alley's in it. That's real good.
Anything you're not clicking on?
Why don't you start with your not clicking
on? It's been nice to have a Taylor Swift break. It's not that I'm not clicking on. I don't have to click on.
Isn't it funny, though, that there has been a Taylor Swift break, but you still see just like these pulls like from deep in the bag of, I mean, I've had to see the Travis Kelce wearing his friendship bracelets for so many days now. And it's kind of sad. It's like, just stop. Like, it's okay. But yes, I know what you mean.
I know. Continue. Also, I'm like, are they okay? They're fine. Not clicking on, or really just cringe. I don't know why that Kate Hudson has a new song and video out.
Oh, man.
And like, I just feel like, oh, it's so cool to like want to be a rock star. And she's got such deep roots. You know, she was married to like Chris Robinson and the Muse guy.
Yeah.
And so she's obviously, music is in her bones, and it's cringy to me because she was so cool. She was such the cool girl, and I just don't know that I view her that way anymore.
And we've gone through this time. It was, I'm just trying to think, what, 2000-ish, right there, you know, when Jennifer Lopez came out with her album, and I felt like a lot of these actresses were trying to dabble into the music scene. The fact that I can't remember any of the other ones maybe says something about that. This is where I feel like the famous life helps you out in this aspect, because if you do want to all of a sudden have a music career, you have the funds and the means to do so. So I did see the little clip of the video today, and I also felt the same way.
And it's not like her voice is bad or anything. It's just the whole thing is cringy to me, and I don't know why, because I'm just maybe a raging bitch. Another thing, and just like that, I'm so over the Cyrus family drama. If I never heard about it again, I would be just fine.
Dude.
Kill me.
And I said this last week, but you don't even have to click on it. It's all in the headlines.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. It's so gross. And I do not care about it. The latest headline I saw was Tish saying something about how she didn't smoke weed when her kids were little, but if she would have, she would have been a better parent. I don't know that that's true, Tish. You're getting married to your daughter's ex-boyfriend, and you apparently smoke a lot of weed. So,
hey, Tish, I don't know if we need to take fucking parenting advice from you, okay? How'd Billy Ray come out looking like the best parent in this situation?
If you're Miley Cyrus right now, are you just like, are you guys fucking kidding me? You know, I just won my first Grammy, and now I've got some weird incestuous family going on. It's weird.
I was the maid of honor at this wedding. Oof. Yeah. Anyways, that's what I'm not clicking on. You don't have to say anything if you're not clicking on anything.
Yeah. There wasn't, again, this is an age thing, but I do the Facebook news a lot for like my top articles, and it's going away soon. So they haven't been updating a lot of the things. So yeah.
What the fuck?
I've been having to rely on Lainey Gossip a lot, which I still don't know that I like love it. So I need to find a different pop culture outlet that isn't Facebook, which is also embarrassing.
Got it.
Oh. I got to talk about some pod stuff.
Do it.
I listened, and I think you did as well, to Heidi and Spencer on the Nick Viall podcast.
Correct.
Which was a great fucking episode.
Yes.
But I think it was before this episode, you know, when he's kind of talking to the, you know, Natalie Joy.
To the household.
The household. And they were talking about things, and Natalie Joy said that she got an $8,000 Louis Vuitton bag from Nick as a
push present. Yep.
I had to pause it and just take a breath. Are you serious? Is this a thing?
Push presents? Yes.
Yeah. What the fuck?
I don't know.
Okay.
It didn't surprise me. I really loved how they returned it and how they got so much shit for returning it. It was a joyous story to me.
This might be one of the first times I've heard a push present. Perhaps I've heard about it in the past and have just tried to push it out of my brain. But getting back to the Heidi and Spencer, we've been talking about them a lot, but I loved them on his podcast and how they just further delved into the Hills and their villain title that's followed them, and how just Nick's question about how they have managed, or he said something about he didn't watch reality TV when The Hills was on, but he still knew who Heidi and Spencer were, and how they have been together for 17 years.
Crazy.
And like, how did they do it?
Yeah. I know. I enjoyed it a lot. It ran a little long, but I appreciate how much Heidi talks about God. And I'm not a very religious person, but I believe her when she says it, and she says it in such a way that's so natural.
Yeah.
That I just love it. It's one of the things I find so endearing about her.
How much fun were those first few years when they were just like loaded? It seems like they just went balls to the wall and really were just living this lavish lifestyle. She said they got fresh flowers delivered every week.
Like $1,000.
Yes. Bags, things.
The wine they would buy.
Yep.
Yeah, it is sad because I just would actually like him to put a number to how much money he blew, because he said he had it. So,
and like the crystals, and how I just like that he wants whatever he gave Kristen Cavallari back, because it's like a $20,000 crystal.
Right.
And Nick had said something before he went into their interview that Heidi and Spencer were going to say something about Jax. I missed it.
It was at the very, very end.
What did they say?
They think it's real. I believe that's what they said. They think it's not for the show, that it's real. And he just doesn't seem like a good person.
Oh.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it was at the very end. I mean, you can find it.
Yeah, once they start getting into the calls coming in or the text advice, I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Very, very good episode.
Yeah, and I thought it was so interesting because she's the one who had like 10 surgeries at once or whatever.
Ooh.
And when they said MTV wanted her to go see her mom in like, where is Crested Butte or whatever?
Crested Butte, Colorado.
And she didn't want to. But then her mom's like, no, I miss you. Come see. And they offered her a private jet. And they ended up paying Darlene, I think her name is, like $20,000 to kind of come down on Heidi.
Yeah.
She didn't talk to her mom for 2 years.
Do you remember that episode?
I do. I remember how fucked up she looked.
And how just like awkward it was, and how she couldn't really talk than this.
And she said that's what she told her mom. She's like, I've never felt like, I feel so terrible, and this is going to be so bad.
That is somebody who, she was so cute and adorable.
Yeah.
And like, even when she got her first like boob job, who cares?
Yeah.
But she did look super scary when she got all those surgeries done. And I'm glad that all of that stuff has like calmed down.
Yeah.
Because she does like look much more like her older self.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really do appreciate all of the real things that they say. And just like about the paparazzi and how just really calling out everybody. It's like, no, they all call these paparazzis unless you're fucking like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
So.
And I just loved how Nick was like, I mean, I think we could all just be friends. And Spencer's like, I don't know. I mean, we don't really leave the house. Like, he's like, we can like text and stuff, but it's just, he's just so real. I love
17
it.
17 years.
It's a lot.
Unbelievable. It kind of bothered me when they had their other podcast, when they would when they kind of would like talk about Lauren, and I was like, good fucking God, like move on. But now I understand it a little bit more, and it's just funny to them, as it should be.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. I did listen to, well, let's talk about VPR a bit.
Well, about VPR, I will say I did not listen to a ton of podcasts this week, but I did listen to Tom Sandoval's podcast this week.
Gross.
Fucking Billy Lee was on it. And the one thing that really stuck out, the episode was super short and not really anything crazy, but Tom was congratulating Lala on her pregnancy, and Billy Lee was like, oh, who did she get pregnant by again? Her ex-husband or her ex-boyfriend or whatever. And I was actually, I don't know if it was Sandoval or Schwartz, but they were like, oh no, she like got a sperm donor like as she wanted and it worked out. And I don't want to say they came to Lala's defense, but it seemed like they just really shut that down quickly. Fuck you, Billy Lee. That's it.
Hey, Billy Lee. This is why you're so fucking unlikable, you know? Just say congratulations.
Trash human being.
Ugh. So I'm glad I watched VPR a couple days ago and I've calmed down a little because it was a drag of a fucking episode.
It was a very Sheena-centric episode.
Did Sheena and Tom break up? Like, is Sheena actually Ariana? I mean, Sheena is so emotional.
It is weird.
It's weird. I feel like something else is going on.
Just the fact that as soon as they started sitting back to back at that weird fucking, even Tom Sandoval, he was like, yeah, that whoever that lady was, the leader of whatever, he's like, she went in a little bit too far, like took it a little bit too deep or something. But just like starts, chin is quivering and just starts crying immediately. Like, are you serious?
And like the dagger she was shooting Brock, I loved it.
Nobody in our quad squad likes Brock. But I did like him in this moment when he was like, no, I'm going to stay over here.
Yeah. I appreciated why he did it. And he told her that because she obviously was very upset. She ran up the stairs and he ran after her. And he's like, I want you to like get this out. You need to let it go.
And even right when it was done, she immediately runs up to the stairs. This reminds me of the episode of Felicity in season 2 when that fucking like advisee gets up and she's like, I can't do this anymore. And Felicity goes after her and Megan's like, that's exactly what she wants. Like, Sheena, nice. You know, I don't want to get too much into her looks that much, but it is just, she's like a cartoon character. It is really hard to take her seriously. I thought it was so weird that even when they were on that boat yacht thing that she called Ariana and was still like crying about it.
She's in the bed crying about it.
Yeah.
I feel like something else was going on in this episode with her personally, and she just had all the feelings, because for her to be this upset about that situation only, it just makes no sense to me.
It does not make any sense. It would make sense if maybe she had been talking about this more on her podcast, like, you know, in the last 11 months leading up to this, that how much she's struggling, how much she misses Tom, how much she misses her friendship, anything like that. But she hasn't.
Yeah.
So it's confusing. I don't know that I have a ton more opinions to say about Sheena in this episode, but I love that Ariana was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like, why are you crying and I'm not, Sheena?
Right. Exactly. And Katie's facial expressions while they're in that conversation were just fucking gold.
Katie's my favorite.
I hate when I see negative comments about Katie. Me too. Because she's wonderful.
She's the most real fucking person.
Does my car smell like weed?
Oh, I want to talk about the Disrespectfully podcast. Don't let me forget.
Okay.
Speaking of Sheena, because I told you at dinner last night, I'm like, I'm fucking done with Sheena. Like, I've unfollowed her for a while. But I did look at Shenanigans today and see that Brock was on, and they were talking about all the things, like the Raquel lawsuit, all the questions about why they did the deed thing. Anyways, it was a good listen. I got some insight into her mom. And
excellent.
Just how, like, they just got back from Amsterdam. And the mom and dad were there, and Sheena didn't let her mom watch this week's episode because she didn't want that to be an issue. And I'm thinking to myself, because they're like, this is the biggest thing we argue about.
Her mother?
Yeah, and if I'm her mom, then step the fuck off.
Exactly.
Like, that's a problem, because I understand why it's a problem for him. And what she was saying about the mom, too, and how the mom makes her feel like she's a bad mom sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, then enough.
So you're telling me that you know all of this, you can see all the problems with it, and the problems that your mom causes, and you guys are going to go on this trip. I'm assuming it's a fun vacation trip to Amsterdam. You're going to bring your fucking parents with? Are you joking?
I guess her dad is, like, from there. They said it went really good and smooth, and there wasn't a lot of issues with Brock and the mom. And then my other question is Brock good TV? Maybe?
Oof. Sometimes.
Like, it was pretty funny how drunk he got.
Yeah, I did appreciate the kangaroo farming story, whatever the fuck he was talking about. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if this means he's good TV, but when he was talking to Sandoval in the gondola or whatever, and Sandoval just started spewing the same shit, and Brock just kind of like went off on him. And I thought everything that Brock said was completely valid. Mm-hmm. I also didn't know about the Raquel rumor and
like, I remember
the teams, and apparently it came from Sandoval's team. Like, is that true? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that it was that interwebbed, I guess.
So they did talk about that on the podcast today, that they don't think Tom leaked it, but they were told somebody from his team did.
Got it. Okay.
So
weird. It bothered me that he apologize to Sandoval for that conversation.
And Sandoval didn't apologize. He eventually did, but he didn't right away.
Like, what are you apologizing for?
Right.
And the same thing with, sorry, do you have more stuff to add on the Sheena podcast? I'm going off.
No.
Okay. Same thing with the Lala conversation.
Yes, let's get into this.
I love Lala. Love Lala. Team Lala.
Brie is a Lala stan.
And I thought she went into that perfectly fine. She didn't come at him. She didn't raise her voice. And he just went off the fucking deep end. And then she got upset, which didn't bother me that she got that upset.
It bothered me that she got that upset.
And I understand. But she has since said on her podcast, and like after this is like calmed down a bit, that she's really trying hard to work on being like less angry, because she's holding on to all this anger, holding on to all this resentment. She doesn't like being triggered about all of the Sandoval stuff. And so while that was a lot, I do think Lala is recognizing that there's more underlying issues than just the Sandoval thing. And she's making the steps to be better about that and holding on to her anger or whatever. So I'm fine with it. I want to know when this cycle of Sandoval recycling the same bullshit is going to stop.
Yeah.
I think that is really what is, I don't want to say throwing me for a loop, but that's what's really just tiring.
Yes.
It's
tiring.
Because it's the episodes, it's the articles, it's his podcast. He just says, it's when he goes on other people's podcasts, he just says the same shit. And I'm tired.
I know. I guess the thing that bothered me so much about the Lala conversation is that I don't understand why she cares. Like, why does she care that he said that?
Yeah.
Who cares? I never even heard that. I don't care. Like, why does she care?
That's a good point.
It's 8 months ago.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand, like, does she think she needs camera time? Like, why is she getting so upset at this? That was my only, like, annoyance. Like, why does she fucking care?
Yeah, I guess you saying that is a very good point. And if you are going to have a talk about Sandoval, I would think there would be other things you would bring up versus
and she doesn't
said
even
you were
like Sandoval.
Douchey. Yeah. He said on his podcast something about how we'll see throughout the season about, like, the strides him and Lala make. And he made it sound like they are not on bad terms.
I've heard
today.
That too.
So
that makes me like it make more sense why she's just so hard on Ariana right now on the after show. So
what do you think about her being hard on Ariana?
I think it's super hypocritical. And like, I guarantee you, if Ariana were having a harder time and crying and like Lala would it be a change of tune. But I think Ariana's thriving and she doesn't, she's just giving off a very nonchalant, I don't give a fuck attitude. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's very odd to me. It's super odd.
Lala was on Watch What Happens Live after the episode. Number one, she looked fantastic, but she didn't really say anything about the Ariana stuff, which I was kind of hoping for.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait and see, huh? When the fuck is the sandwich shop going to open?
I don't know.
God.
So yeah, that's all I have. I mean, again, I would like more Ariana and Katie. I would also like them to have a different storyline than the sandwich shop. So.
And I don't need to see fucking whatever the fuck her butt's name. Jenna, Katie, the lady that's helping them.
Penny?
With the Penny, thank you.
I thought that whole scene was pretty funny, but yeah.
It seemed a little bit forced.
Yeah.
And it's fine.
Do you want to talk Survivor or The Summer I Turned Pretty?
Let's get Survivor out of the way because I feel the same way about Survivor as basically VPR, so I can keep my tone the same. 2 seasons ago, listening to Tyson's podcast, and I think we all had the same sentiment that there's just there's not enough time. Episodes could be a little bit longer. We could see a little bit more strategy, a little bit more gameplay. And that leads me to where we're at now, where four of us went to watch this most recent episode of Survivor 2 motherfucking hours. That means an hour and a half without commercials. It was definitely at least a half hour too long. I think once we get into the meat of this season, once we get into a little bit further, these longer episodes make more sense. I don't know who the fuck any of these people are. And right now they're all coming off stupid and not really playing the best games at this moment. I mean, nice try with the fake idol. Like, are you serious? I can't believe she fell for that.
I think she knew all along. Yeah, the purple team's a disaster. I appreciated the episode. Where I get caught up is when tribal council goes too long. But it was a pretty good tribal council last night.
Like, the gameplay, I want to see the stuff leading up to tribal council. Like, the screen time or the sharing between the other tribes that aren't going to tribal council, I don't really need to see them and what they're talking about and who they think they want to vote off, because it doesn't fucking matter yet. I don't know. It's just a little bit too long. But yeah, I still think that challenge was insane. Never seen a puzzle challenge like that.
Yes.
Oof, it seemed like it got a lot of people riled up.
I know. It seemed everybody was very emotional, whether you won or lost. Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about the episode. It was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I just said, the purple team's a disaster. And I thought it was pretty entertaining when the guy was on the other tribe was naming off the Metallica songs to the one guy with the Taylor Swift songs. And they each named like 105 songs. I didn't know Metallica's catalog ran that deep, so.
I mean, you would ask me if I could name that many Taylor Swift songs, and, like, I don't know, but I'm just thinking about, like, the Killers. Could, in that moment, if I was having, like, a contest with somebody, could I just rattle off fucking 100 Killer songs?
No.
I don't, like, I just don't know. I know them all, but I don't know if I could just be like, eh.
How do you know you don't repeat one, you know?
And that's exactly it. I feel like I would have to write the albums down, write down, like, it was impressive.
Yeah, no, it really was. Yeah, Summer, I Turned Pretty.
I am so curious to hear your thoughts about this show.
Well, I watched episode one, and it was really good.
Like, feel-good adorableness.
Yes, like, that is such an innocent time in people's lives when they're growing up, and we will never be that young again. We'll never experience those firsts again, so this show kind of brings you back to that place and mm-hmm. those feelings, and you're like, oh my God, right. You know, so they just do a really good job.
How fun would it be to have a summer home to go to that looked like that place?
Yeah.
Just got a little bit of money somewhere.
I mean, I can definitely see how this is laid out as a book. You know, you have the kids and then, of course, the parents. I'm sure that drama gets pretty deep with the two moms, mm-hmm. you know, and like the one woman's a writer. I'm also reading a book right now that takes place on Nantucket. Same type of situation, like. Beach, you know,
yeah,
they're on a beach town.
Northeastern coast.
And the one in Nantucket, they brought up Petoskey, Michigan.
What?
I know.
What did they say about it?
Well, they said, so somebody is from Chicago, and she was saying her parents had a place up on Lake Michigan in Petoskey.
Oh,
I know. It was so cool. But anyways, yeah, the Summer I Turned Pretty, I really liked it. I wanted to watch another episode, but I didn't. I saved it. I mean, I kind of thought that, like, she's going to get with this whaler guy because she kissed him, but...
Oh, yeah. I accidentally made the mistake of asking Kristen how I can't wait to see if she's Team Jer or Team Conrad. And she's like, what about the other guy? And I was like, ugh. I'm like, he doesn't matter.
I know. Well, I do remember our listener Rebecca's comments who... that's Will's wife, right?
It is Will's wife, yeah.
And they were out here last summer. And she was saying she didn't love how... the two brothers were being pitted against each other. So I did know there was like a brother thing, but I just thought maybe I didn't understand what she meant. But now I do.
Okay. You had brought this comment up to me and I had no idea what you're talking about. Okay, this is Rebecca's comment. I don't love the trend in teen shows to love triangles with brothers. I can't stand Conrad though. My first choice is actually the kid she dated first. That wasn't a brother at all. Okay. My first question is, did Rebecca edit this? But I don't think she did.
Well, I only thought it said... something about the brothers.
Yeah, but I read it too fast and what I remember seeing was, I don't love the trend in teen shows to love triangles, and I didn't really understand what she meant, so that's why I did the but now I understand. So thank you for explaining that to me, Rebecca. Hello. But this is what gets us, you know, it's Ben versus Noel, it's Conrad versus Jer, yes. It's Seth versus whatever the fuck his name was, you know, Ducky. Oop. Yeah, OC, I don't know, it doesn't matter.
The fuck is Ducky?
Zach guy that Summer dates in season two. You know, she's trying to decide between Cohen and I know.
Jesus.
Sorry, that was a deep cut.
So I really like
Big and Aiden. I mean, the list goes on.
I can't wait to watch more. And she's so pretty. And yeah.
There's a lot of very like attractive people on the show. It feels weird saying that about these people, but I'm assuming they're all in their like mid-20s. So I don't feel
and
that weird.
And that kid totally does look like Deacon Phillips.
It is insane.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, and did you think the girl in Survivor, the Kenzie girl, do you think she looks like Brittany Snow?
Kind of, yeah.
Cool.
Do you have anything else with how I, whatever that Summer I Turned Pretty?
No, I'm excited to watch this show further with you.
Did you say that's coming back for a third season?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe so.
Are you
going
to read the books?
I want to.
Okay.
I was talking to Brandy about the books and she really likes them. And again, like with all books, I'm sure it's a little bit more in depth and detailed and maybe we'll shed some light on some things. But yeah, I did not watch the first episode again, but I'm going to start now rewatching it with you this week.
Yeah, probably.
From me. So yeah. And I think I made this comment on here, but it's just like the younger innocent OC.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I really like it.
Yeah.
Yay.
I wanted to touch on the Disrespectfully pod, my all-time favorite pod right now with Dana Cathan and Katie Maloney. And so they were talking about this emo cruise. Did you listen?
Was it this week's?
Yeah.
No, I have not yet.
They were talking about this emo cruise they went on. Oh my God. First of all, they both got like really sick after. And so I'm going on a cruise at the end of August, like a European cruise.
Oh, like sick? Oh, I thought you meant like boat sick or something.
No, like.
They caught something on the
cruise. No, I have no idea. You'll have to give it a listen. But
right.
The whole thing was just like crazy. And I just would never go on an emo cruise. I'm glad they had fun. And I'm super scared to get sick on my cruise.
Mark was telling me that somebody he knows from work is going on a cruise Sunday and their kid has COVID. Somebody else has RSV or something and they're going in a couple of days.
I was listening to the Skinny Confidential podcast today. And they had on this like gut specialist. And he's a doctor and they were saying that they call him for everything when their kids are sick and that they were in Italy and their son, who's like a toddler or baby or whatever, got like really bad hives. He was having some sort of reaction. So they went to an Italian doctor and like he prescribed antibiotics, but he's like, I didn't know that I wanted to give him antibiotics. So I called like this doctor who's on the show. And anyways, this doctor was saying everything he brings when he goes on vacation, like he brings like four things like for sickness.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to like.
What are they?
Well, so this first one is it's like a daily immune support. It's a bioactive silver hydrosol. It's like a sovereign silver. And basically it's like powerful immune support your body deserves. And it's safe and pure and effective. I don't know, man.
I don't understand.
Hold on. Let me it's bioactive silver hydrosol. And basically benefits the immune system to help fight infections as well as displaying anti-inflammatory benefits. So it's almost like a Zicam maybe or something, but better.
Okay.
What I'm gleaning, it's the ultimate refinement of colloidal silver. Hold on. It's an immune supporter. So I haven't done a lot of research on it. He was just talking about it a lot today on this podcast. And I'm like, I am definitely going to look into this.
What are the other things?
Magnesium, which I've heard a lot about magnesium.
Okay.
A probiotic and one other thing that I can't remember.
Okay. So if I have poor man's version of that silvery shit, Zicam, got some kombucha, got my multivitamin. Should be all right.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah.
I know. I'm just double checking if there's any more info I can give on this because, I mean, I'll circle back with this, with the pod, like, but I'm definitely going to bring this because this is the one thing he also told this guy. He's like, do you have this with you? Give it to your kid. And he didn't have any with him. So anyways. Oh, an activated charcoal for like food poisoning.
Oh,
that was one thing he always brings too. Because he's like, when you go to other countries, like there's food poisoning is a little more prevalent. So,
which is weird when you think of it.
Yeah.
Interesting. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah, I'll circle back.
What else did Dana and Katie have to say? Was that it?
Oh, it was just a really, really good podcast. And like they both went to the emergency room at separate times when they got back.
Oh,
and it
God.
Wasn't from the ship. Like Katie had a really bad bladder infection. And she said it was unlike any bladder infection she's ever had.
What?
Like a UTI infection or whatever. so she had that going, and then Dana had some sort of allergic reaction to something, and she almost couldn't breathe anymore, and yeah.
Oh,
she doesn't really
God.
Know what the allergic reaction was from, and anyways, I'm very...
That is, like, terrifying a little bit.
I mean, when our mom went on her Alaskan cruise, every single person got COVID, but that was kind of in, like, the height of... I don't know. I think we're still in the height of COVID, so...
When we were talking about flu symptoms, Mark was like, well, let me just see what the CDC recent guidelines are. There aren't any.
Right.
So, yeah. Yikes. Hopefully we can all stay safe and healthy.
True.
But yeah, it's going to be very exciting that we're going back to his parents. It's going to be a nice surprise. We're pulling up to his parents. His dad knows, his mom doesn't, and his siblings don't know. So by the time you listen to this, the cat will be out of the bag.
Yay.
And then...
we'll miss you.
I did want to say two more Vanderpump things before I forget. I did go back to previous week's episode and watch the beginning when Sheena pinches her fucking skin and then goes and tries on a one piece, which I feel like you said is the catalyst of why you unfollowed her.
I unfollowed her a while ago, but that just makes me happy that I unfollowed her.
Number one, before she even did that, I like how she was just asking for extra small sizes. So number two, basically just fuck off, Sheena. And I do appreciate that Katie, when she was saying she went out on a date or two with one of those emo guys and that she didn't want to continue dating him because he didn't know what penne pasta was. And I mean, are you fucking raising a barn? What do you mean you know what penne pasta is? I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I know. And I feel like it sounds super like bitchy of us to talk about Sheena like this. But the bottom line is, I mean, it just makes her really fucking unlikable when we have to see... You and I are very normal sizes, and I feel like I'm about 9 sizes bigger than Sheena.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, fuck off. I'm so sorry that you have some skin there that you're pinching.
You know, and Mark, God bless them with his beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. He was like...
That means Mark is very robotic without feelings.
He said something, because number one, I don't know how I missed that the first time, and number two, I saw that. I'm sure I yelled fuck about 5 times, and he was like, I mean, of course, it's just some skin. Or something like that. I'm like, you could go get like, well, the example I used probably wasn't appropriate to say, but I'm like, you could go take somebody who weighs 35 pounds that is starving themselves and they could pinch it and there is skin there. Of course there is skin there. You're a human being, not a bag of bones. That sounded really Midwestern right there. Bones.
Oh, bones.
God. And also my last plug for things that I'm watching. We finished the like second season of Making a Murderer.
Thank God.
And I'll tell you what, I'm ready for the arguments. But number one, I cannot believe either of those two are in jail, and basically fuck all of the courts in Wisconsin. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Scunny.
Like it is like the Bone Valley podcast. Mm-hmm. Like you can't believe that guy is still in jail. I can't believe these two are still in jail. His is way more heartbreaking.
I know.
He is,
forgot about
without
that.
A doubt, 100% innocent. And I'm 90-ish% sure in my brain that those two are innocent, but holy shit, man, that's it.
Well, I think it goes without saying that we all hope you drive safe back to Minneapolis, or
we're not going to Minneapolis,
whatever, northern Minnesota. And I'm really gonna miss you next week.
Yeah, maybe that's why I'm having a harder time today, because I'm just gonna get a little homesick and I'm gonna miss you and Phil.
Thanks, Bree's got a lot of feelings today.
All right. Well, everybody, enjoy the Felicity podcast. Dear Felicity, I guess I wish we would have thought of that title when we were bouncing title ideas around.
Also, give Disrespectfully a listen. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah.
If you watch, like, if it's not even about VPR. So if you don't watch Vanderpump Rules, it doesn't matter. You don't need to watch it.
It's true. Yeah. Can't wait to be back next week. I've got a lot of camper stuff to talk about, so we'll save that for next week. And until then, Instagram, you know where to find us. We'll be talking to you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.